Amen, and be seated. Good to have you here this morning. And it is good to have a visitor, Dolores Reed, right back here on my right. And Dolores, wave at everybody. Good to have her visiting with us from Blissfield. And said she's been here before, so hopefully some of you might remember her, or she might remember you. But anyway, it's good to have her with us today. Good to have Sheila Click back with us. And everything's all right now. It looks right there, seeing Sheila there. But anyway, praise the Lord for her being back. And it looks like the Beinekes have some guests. Frank, introduce them to us, if you would, please.
My sister-in-law, Lisa, and my niece, Cassandra.
Fantastic. Lisa and Cassandra, good to have you here. Where are y'all from?
Canton, Ohio.
Okay, fantastic. All right, good to have you. Appreciate you coming. Anyone else? All right. Well, we're glad that you're all here. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we are right at the end of this lesson, Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. That is lesson number 22, the assault upon mankind. And we also have lesson 23 available if you need either of those, lesson 22 or 23. You're welcome to raise your hand and we'll make sure you get those. All right, Sheila obviously needs that. It's been a while. Do you remember where we were when you went south for the winter?
Couple verses back.
Oh, you're so hard on me, Melba. I'm just thorough. Oh, well, we've made a lot of progress then over the winter. Lesson 22 and lesson 23. Anybody else need that? All right, Joyce and Paul. Yeah, we have several folks. Dale, you're just really getting slow. Dale's wore out because of the jogathon. He was out there running. And I was surprised Dale Stewart could run. I was amazed. I mean, he actually he ran several laps and actually looked like he knew what he was doing, and it was amazing. Do what? No, he didn't collapse, but I almost collapsed. I got in situations where, you know, you get that look from a kid like they want to race, and I remembered back to the old days, like 40 years ago, when I could. And so I got in a couple of races I should not have gotten into. I got beat by a fifth grader. Anyway, but boy, I'm paying for it. I really am paying. But it was just a fantastic time, beautiful weather, and jogathon, it just went so well, just a good spirit with our young people. And that makes me think of tonight. Don't forget the evening service. Our teens are doing the whole service, everything. In fact, we're not having ensemble or choir practice. Choir's taking a vacation. Well, not from church, but from singing. And I've already decided I'm just going to come in, I'm going to sit down, and just let everything happen and pray a lot. But anyway, no, I think they're going to do a good job. I'm excited about it. And the boys that are preaching, we have three guys that are doing tag team preaching, because most of them have preached in chapel and their messages are usually pretty short. And so they've talked to me, they're all excited, and so we'll see how it goes tonight. But you know, God, I've watched God use services like that in such an unusual way, and I'm excited. I hope you'll pray about the service tonight, and of course be here, and don't be hard on them. Just let God use them, and everybody starts somewhere. I'm sure everybody that is a preacher in here that preaches or teaches, right? You had that first time. You remember that first time, and you stood up in front of people, and you were absolutely terrified. And so that's the best way to be. And you should always be absolutely terrified till you say, Lord, please use me. And you speak through me. You sing through me. I just want to be a blessing, what you want me to be. And that's what I'm hoping for our young people, that they realize that the service of the Lord, it's not a performance. It's letting God use you. And I'm excited about it. I really am. I think it's going to be good. And let's get into the Bible, though. Number 8. We are on Roman numeral 8, the very back page of your notes. And we should finish that off, lesson 22. Wait a minute, let's go ahead and do our memory verse one more time, Revelation 9:6. And again, it is a powerful verse, a verse that the message in it does give us an idea of the tribulation. Again, we cannot even imagine how bad. We can't. God has described as much as he can. We will find something in the next lesson where he says, don't even write it down. And the seven thunders, don't write down what you saw. Don't write down what you heard. And we'll talk about that. But it is so bad that the people want to die. And, you know, I've counseled people that are suicidal. I've counseled people that, talk about suicide. They have those thoughts and all that. And again, it's hard to even imagine that. But yet, in Revelation 9:6, we see that most men want to die. And of course, they don't believe in heaven and hell. They've rejected God in one way or the other. But so death obviously will not be a good thing. But they're in so much pain. They're in so much. Understand the pain of a physical pain that is going on. But then there's the hopelessness. And you know, one of the great things about being an American is we very seldom have had to face hopelessness. You know, we have. and certainly being a Christian, we don't face that. We, sometimes Christians do because they get away from the Lord. But that hopelessness is hard to even, it's just hard to imagine. And so let's go ahead and say our memory verse. I will say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Revelation 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. And again, Revelation 9:6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. Father, bless our time. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so again, we come to the end of this lesson, and the six trumpets have sounded, and we'll talk about that again in a minute. But we come to number 8, Roman numeral 8, Revelation 9 and verse 20. And of course, we've just finished the last two trumpets, which are the two of the three woes that were uttered by the angel. And mankind is just decimated, and just death is all around, suffering is all around, and so Roman numeral 8, I think, is such a key thing. I call it the stubborn survivors, Revelation 9 and verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so despite the six trumpet judgments and the suffering and the pain, and not only the six trumpet judgments, but of course the last three were especially going to be, the woes were pronounced, so two of those have taken place, the demons from out of the pit, and then the demonic horsemen, as it states in the scripture. One group that were simply there to torment mankind, and the other group that were there to kill mankind. And so death is all around, the pain is all around, the stench of death is all around. Again, it is not something that we can really grasp other than what God says about it. And despite all of that, there are people still living, and it says the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, they have escaped. That doesn't mean that they weren't injured. It doesn't mean that they aren't suffering. I mean, everybody, it would appear, on the earth is suffering somehow. But in spite of all that they've seen and all that's taken place, The Bible is very clear. They remain stubborn in their lack of repenting for what they've done. And it's interesting because it says, repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and all that. And again, the emphasis on these demons in the last two trumpet soundings, the emphasis on the demonic activity, you know, you would think that these men that are remaining, you would think they would recognize this is what we were worshiping. This demonic presence, that's what we were worshiping. That was what our, those were our gods. And in spite of being burnt, is the way I look at it, in spite of being deceived, in spite of all of that, they still are not willing to turn to God. It is so hard to imagine. In fact, there is no evidence anywhere that great numbers of people come to God through the tribulation. There's no evidence that. Now, we know people do get saved, people that have not heard before. I want to make it very, very clear. The Bible is clear that if you're sitting here today and you're not saved and you have heard the gospel and you said, no, I don't want to get saved, the Bible is very clear that God will send a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. Okay, you're not, if you sit here today and say, you know, I don't want to trust Christ now, but I'll wait until, you know, some of these things are taking place and I'll get saved then. My Bible says you won't get saved then. But the countless numbers of people who've not heard and have never heard, have not had a chance to reject or accept or whatever, you know, there will be some that will get saved during the tribulation. Now, again, I submit to you that if people won't get saved now, they wouldn't get saved during the, you know, now it'd be easy to get saved. And at the end of our morning service, we'll give an invitation and we'll have, you know, folks will have an opportunity to come. All they have to do is come and we'll take a Bible and show them how to be saved. In fact, they could say, you know, hey, I want to talk to somebody out in the hall. I want to talk to them. That's fine. Praise the Lord. We'll go through the plan of salvation. A person could get saved. So simple, right? During the tribulation time, if you will, pardon me, but yes, I'd like to get saved. Okay, fine. We'll be glad to, you know, somebody will show you how to be saved, and then right afterwards, we're going to chop off your head. I don't know. It just seems like it would be, but what is it? You know, the devil. He's a liar. He deceives us, and we always think, well, I have another day. I have more time. I get another chance. And you are not guaranteed that other chance. I always think about Pharaoh when I think about, and I read these verses. I look at, don't they get it? You know, Pharaoh watched all the water turn to blood. Pharaoh watched all the plagues. All those plagues take place. And the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And eventually God hardened his heart. You know, God just said, okay, Pharaoh, if you are going to choose against me and just continually, even though you see my power, even though you see what I'm doing, even though you are convicted, you know, God said, I'll just use you against yourself. And then God hardened his heart. And, you know, Pharaoh is a perfect example of the person who just keeps saying, no, I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want to be saved. You know, it was at the age of 17 that I was made aware. Well, I was made aware of the gospel before that, but I really came to grips with the fact that, hey, I am rejecting Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I'm not rejecting religion. I'm rejecting Jesus when I would not get saved. And I'm so glad that I got saved. But if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to understand you are rejecting Jesus Christ. You're not rejecting Doug Rogers. You're not rejecting Berean Baptist Church or any other church for that matter. You're rejecting Jesus Christ who loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so again, you know, these people... they refuse to repent. They refuse to change their mind about the devils they worshiped, the idols that they worshiped. They refuse to change their mind just like Pharaoh, they were stubborn in following, even though they had gotten burnt. You know, people get burnt by the devil all the time. Devil's never done you any good. I don't care who you are, don't care what has happened in your life, the devil has never done you any good, ever, and he never will. The devil, boy, I did this thing, and I know it was bad, and boy, I'll tell you what, it was sure fun. Oh, yeah, and then what? You know, it's called the pleasures of sin for a season, and then the season's up, and then the harvest comes. And it's never good. Never good. Whatever the devil offers you, it may be fun at first. It may look good at first. It may look like the greatest thing in the world. But you will get burnt. He burnt me many, many, many times. And you know what? He still, every now and then, you know, every now and then, I fall prey to some thought or something. And it never works out good. You know, if you ever thought about how the devil is not only the tempter, he's also the accuser. You'd realize what that's all about. You know, he tempts us to do wrong, then we do wrong, then he accuses us. Isn't there something wrong in that picture that you'd finally decide, maybe I don't want to listen to him. Maybe I will understand, but these people didn't. Romans 3, verse 11. Let me give you some verses and we'll move on. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. The Bible says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And that is our old nature, that is our old way. We just are not interested in those things. Sometimes God allows tribulation. I've led people to Christ in hospitals many times. I've led people to Christ in funeral homes. When a loved one is laying in a casket, you have done the same thing. I've led people to the Lord right after they've lost their job. I've led people to the Lord right after their spouse left them. I mean, there are many, many things that cause us to realize we need God. And yet, sometimes, you know, people just say, no way. Because I've also been rejected, and you have too. When somebody is as a drunk has lost everything they have, and wouldn't you like to be saved now? I don't want anything to do with that blankety blank. Yeah, okay. Or in a jail, you know, in a prison, we do that as well. And I've had many of them weep and beg God to save their soul, but I've had them also say, you know what? I'm not interested in that. And you know, it's the flesh wants nothing to do with God. 2 Timothy 3. Again, is a sign of our day today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 13, the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And watch what it says, deceiving and being deceived. And to me, hearts are getting harder and harder and harder instead of softer and softer and softer. And again, deceiving and being deceived is very, very clear in the Scripture for the last days. And so again, we cannot be shocked with that. These people in verse 20, it says they worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood. These are things, it says, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. These are things they worship. These are objects. These are humans. These are devils. These are demons. These are, the religions we talked about east of the Euphrates are mostly demonic, demon worship. And so their hearts get harder and harder and harder and harder. And the result of false religion, verse 21, neither repented they of. And then this list, again, you say, yeah, but this is talking about their worship. It's religion. And religion is not what we are promoting. Maybe pure religion and undefiled that is described in the Bible, but we're not promoting religion for the sake of religion. Much religion, if you study history, much religion is the cause of murders, sorceries, fornication, and theft. Hello. Study your history book. Much religion is it involves all those things in verse 21. I'm not going to get into all of it and the cults and everything else, but any kind of false religion is going to bring forth murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts. And so again, these are, you know, they're worshiping, the Bible says. They won't, wait a minute, they're going through the tribulation. Well, yeah, but they're worshiping devils and idols, and they're not worshiping God, and they did not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come to God through Jesus. They are worshiping a false God, a small g God. And the result is they're not going to repent of murder, sorcery, fornication, theft. I mean, honestly, we need a wholesale repentance from religion of these things today. We need a wholesale repentance of murder and sorcery and fornication and theft in our world today. And if we think it's bad now, imagine in the time of the tribulation. Murders. Sorcery, the word is pharmakeia, and that is tied right into the occult. That is tied, and by the way, the occult and drugs, just the word all ties together so well. You know, all of that stuff, just whatever people are looking for when they take drugs, whatever they're looking for when they're involved in alcohol. You know, well, I got to have that buzz, you know, I got to have that high from my marijuana, I got to have that high from these pills, I've got to have, you know, again, all of that stuff ties together. It's like somebody going to the occult or demon worship or witchcraft, those kinds of things. You know, well, I'm getting something extra out of it. Yeah, but what you don't understand is that thing you're getting is not going to help you. It's going to burn you. Okay, you know, I grew up with parents who were alcoholics. And, the commercials were always so good and they looked so pretty and everybody's having a party. They didn't hear my parents fighting and screaming at each other drunk on a Friday night. I'm sorry, Saturday morning. Yeah, they didn't hear that. They didn't see, those ads aren't very accurate, because I've counseled so many young people after daddy came home drunk and beat up mommy and beat up the child too. You know, and nobody ever wants to talk about that. Well, you know, moderation. Yeah, I know about moderation. But, you know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all of that is something in our day today. And it is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it will be worse. And, you know, all of these things, fornication, that is any kind of sexual impurity outside of marriage, and you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, 15-year-olds can get whatever this pill thing is the day after or 2 days after, whatever it is, and 15-year-old, now they can get, and that'll make everything okay. Makes it all right. Everything's good. Yeah, I know. And you know, we're in a day, and folks, understand, our day today is just, you know, right here, verses 20 and 21, you could plug that into the Daily Telegram and the news of the times, and that is what it is. Neither repented they of these things. Murder. Oh, you know. Yeah, I mean, boy, did you hear about that one guy that, I'm thinking about little babies that are taken out of the place that should be the safest place in all the world, a mother's womb, and they're, a needle is inserted right in the back at the base of their neck and sucks out their brains or whatever they do, you know, little life. I'm just saying, this is the day we live in, and how much worse will it be then? But the point is, they have seen the tribulation, and they still say no. I'm always amazed when I get to the Battle of Armageddon, and we will get there one of these days in Revelation, and mankind is going to take their guns, their weaponry, and point it at God in heaven instead of falling on their face. and begging God to forgive them. Unbelievable. Romans 1:32, and then we close this lesson out, Romans 1 and verse 32. And the Bible says here, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And certainly that is the description of the tribulation, but it is also a description of our day. People are going all out. Pleasure, yeah, but it's pleasure. Come on, this is fun. And they're getting burnt. They're getting burnt. I know. Boy, we're having a good time. I hear it all the time. People talking about, you know, their parties and all that. And I grew up in that age of the 70s. And boy, you know, you could go get some marijuana and get you some alcohol, and you could have a party and just have a. In fact, they called it a party. You know, remember that party? It's just always amazing that next day. Sure didn't seem very fun on the next day. But anyway, that's a whole other subject, and we need to move on. We are now moving into Revelation chapter 10. Revelation 10, lesson 23. Aggressive prophecy in the midst of woe. Aggressive prophecy in the midst of woe. Two woes have taken place. One woe is left, that would be the seventh trumpet, and we have a parenthetical moment here, and again, it's just an insert. You can't, chapter 10 all the way through 11, 13 is not necessarily in a sequence. It could be taking place at any time. I remind you that the book of Revelation, we can't just tell this happened at this time. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say, and in the second year of the tribulation, or in the, we do have the middle of the tribulation. We have that time period we know of. We know the tribulation is 7 years. We definitely know that. But as far as any kind of nailing down when these things happen, as far as an exact time, we are not able to do that. We speculate. And much of Revelation, there is speculation. The thing that you don't have to speculate on is how bad it is. That's very, very clear in the Scripture. And so we come to our memory verse for this lesson, lesson 23. It is Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And certainly that's an exciting thing that it will be about to happen when that seventh angel sounds. And so again, time is an interesting thing. And so in the midst of all of this, as the sixth angel or the sixth trumpet has taken place, the six trumpets, and by the way, I think I mentioned this last week, since the rapture, okay, as far as where we are in the six seal judgments and the seven seal judgments, the seventh being the opening of seven trumpet judgments. So we've had the seven seal judgments, we've had the six trumpet judgments, and during that time, whatever that period of time is, and we kind of guess it's well over more than half of the tribulation. But during that time, over one half of mankind has died. Now, that's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. But we just go by the percentages that the Bible talks about when people die and all that. So we know that over one half. Okay, so the rapture takes place, and then at the point we are here after the sixth trumpet sounds, over one half of the people that were alive when the rapture took place, over one half of them are now dead. That's a lot of people. Now, some of them got saved, and some of them are in heaven. They're with the Lord, but most of them are in hell. After that time period, over half of mankind. You say, wow, there'll be a lot of room to stretch out. Who will want to? The earth is decimated. I mean, it's not like we think of it. It's not, you know, the six seal, I'm sorry, the seven sealed, the sealed judgments of man just being turned loose. I probably mentioned this way back when we talked about the sealed judgments, but you ever watch the news when a hurricane takes place or a bad storm takes place, Sandy on the East Coast, and I'm thinking mostly of Katrina. And I remember when the weather, as the clouds started to, it started to clear up, people started doing what? I'm not talking about the ones that were drowning. I'm talking about the people that were not drowning that were in the city. What'd they do? They're breaking the windows of the stores and taking the big televisions. And I remember seeing on film, and I'm watching these people carrying the TVs and the stereos and just stealing them right out of the stores. And it's like that's us. That is so hard to even imagine. And so here's somebody who's breaking in, stealing, carrying, and they're carrying this huge television set that they stolen out of this store. And a block away, somebody's trying to get up in their attic and trying to break through the roof to get up on the roof so they don't drown. It's how it is, isn't it? Wow. Anyway, I'm not trying to discourage you. But all these people have died. And so this section, though, this passage in lesson 23, it's kind of an interesting passage. It has three different things that are stated here that we're going to talk about. The message of truth, the measuring of the temple, the ministry of the two. It has those three things. And then number four, the mystery of the times, the seventh trumpet sounds. And then we're going to have another break. Things are going to be happening all in the midst of that. Again, time is a very difficult thing to look at here. It's very, very hard to try to figure out, okay, well, this is, you know, and I've seen charts, and I don't know if anybody agrees on their charts. I don't know, you know, anybody who would say, yes, I know this is exact. You know, if they do, be careful, because the Bible doesn't say, and if it doesn't say, who in the world are we? But we just know that the message of truth, and we're going to talk about that. It's very, very important. That is a powerful little section. The measuring of the temple is important. The ministry of the two, we certainly speculate on who they are, and we will talk about that. And then the mystery of the times, the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And just an exciting, exciting lesson number 23. But I am just about out of time. I need the ushers to come, if they will, and go ahead and take up the offering. Let me start with Revelation 10 and verse 1. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. This is a rather large angel, sounds like. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And this is one of the most interesting things right here. God had told him to write, didn't he? Remember, John, remember way back a couple years ago when we started? write what you see, write what you hear. But here, I can just see John, he's got his cross pen. Well, I don't know if it's a cross pen or not. But anyway, he's got his writing instrument out, and he's going to write this down. The seven thunders uttered their voices. And so, you know, what's that sound like? I wonder what they said. You know, I wonder, what is that? You know, and he was about to write. In my mind, I see him putting down 1, 2, 3. You know, maybe he had it all numbered so he could make sure and remember, you know, what it was that, because he's been writing everything down, right? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Isn't that amazing? That's the first time in Revelation. John, I want you to write down what you see. Oh, but this thing, don't write that down. You say, what in the world did those thunders say? Well, see, here's the honesty that a preacher should have with you. We don't know. We don't know. Why don't we know? Because he said, don't write it down. Isn't that good? Amen. But you know what we will do? We will speculate a little bit. Because we like to speculate. I just think it's amazing. I think it's amazing, too, because we're going to run into this little book here. And he's going to eat the little book. He's going to wish that he had Zantac. Because what's going to happen is it's going to make his belly bitter, the Bible says. It's going to be sweet, but then it's going to make his belly bitter. I was thinking of ribs. Not his ribs, I was thinking of a little pig's ribs with barbecue sauce. And how they're so sweet, but how they can really make the belly bitter. But anyway, we'll talk about all of that. And so what could be sweet but make the belly bitter? Besides ribs, I'm thinking of what would be something else that might be like that? I don't eat a lot of sweets. Sometimes peanut butter does that to me. Peanut, like David got a peanut butter pie for his birthday, and we ate some of that yesterday. Peanut butter has that effect on me sometimes. What else, Brother Holland, do you like to eat? What is it?
Cabbage.
Cabbage? Yeah, but is it sweet? Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't like it either. That's why I don't even know what you're talking about, because I stay away from it. I don't like its look. I don't like its smell. And when Brenda cooks it, I just go somewhere else. It makes my nasal passage bitter. Anyway, so this little book, I'm anxious to find out. You say, well, let's get into the lesson. Well, that isn't how you're going to find out. We're not going to find out. We're going to speculate, though. And we'll find out one of these days. And aren't you kind of interested in those seven thunders? In my mind, I see John. I see, you know, he's starting to write. No. Can't write that. Okay? It's kind of like when the Holy Spirit, now bear with me, okay? But when you're getting ready to post that thing on Facebook, and the Holy Spirit says, don't. Don't do it. And then you don't. Or do you?